301-366-7776 or visit doorproinc.com.
Imagine feeling the freedom of 20/20 vision without the hassle of foggy glasses and contacts. Well, thanks to the LASIK Vision Institute, that freedom could be yours. If you want LASIK, then the LASIK Vision Institute has officially taken away everything standing in your way. At the LASIK Vision Institute, we're offering dramatically low prices, as low as $220 per eye, plus affordable financing. Go to LASIK.com and see if LASIK is right for you. The LASIK Vision Institute offers the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology, and our expert medical teams have performed over 1.3 million procedures. Technology and experience all more affordable than you might imagine. Go to LASIK.com today to schedule your free consultation and start feeling the freedom of better vision. That's LASIK.com. Individual results vary. $220 per eye price available based on prescription. Go to LASIK.com for details. Patients age 40 and over will likely experience the need for reading glasses.
We've all dealt with the headache of windshield damage. Small cracks become big cracks, two cracks become four cracks. The next thing you know, cracks are all you see. Then comes the fun part. Where do I go to get it fixed? The answer? Nowhere. They came to me. I called the folks at Eden Auto Glass. They gave me the best in quality windshield repair, a killer quote, and they fixed me up that day. They even took care of the window tint that I've been meaning to install. Look them up at EdenAutoGlass.com. Do what I did. Get your free quote and let them see your crack. That's EdenAutoGlass.com.
Hockey and basketball fans love scoring in nets. But what else do they have in common? A chance for an easy 100 from BetMGM. Register for the King of Sportsbooks and win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 money line wager on either the Grizzlies or the Pacers, and if your team hits a three, you'll win. Simply sign up using bonus code RIGHT100 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. No matter your sport, BetMGM is where the stakes are always raised. Enjoy innovative parlay selection features, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code RIGHT100, WRIGHT100, to win $100 in free bets when you wager $1 on either the Grizzlies or the Indiana Pacers. You must be 21 years or older, and you must be present in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For gambling problem support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
I'm here. My name is Gary Parish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Ben Adol's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can. And I hope you were able to enjoy that memorable, wonderful, fun-filled Monday night for our city's two basketball teams. Impressive win for the Tigers. Impressive win for the Grizzlies. We're going to talk about both in this first hour. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 4:20, Chris Mannix going to join me. He, of course, covers the NBA for Sports Illustrated. On the crossover this morning with Howard Beck, Ben Pickman, spent 6 minutes discussing the Memphis Grizzlies. Mannix believes they're a legitimate playoff team, so nobody better to talk to today about the Grizz than Chris Mannix. He's going to join me in the next segment. When I finish that, I'm going to take a break, come back, do four notable stories, 444, at which point I will discuss four previously undiscussed stories, among them former New York Mets manager Mickey Callaway, a Germantown High graduate, has been accused by five women of lewd slash unwanted advances. The story published last night at The Athletic, the allegations are not good. Mickey, of course, is currently the Angels pitching coach. He was suspended by the organization earlier today. It's now hard to envision him keeping that job, given what's in this story. I'll give you the details around 444. Kansas City offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy spoke today about his inability to land a head coaching gig in the NFL despite all of his success with the Chiefs. I'll tell you what he said a little later on this hour. Massive college basketball game scheduled for tonight. Number 2 Baylor at number 6 Texas. I'll talk to you about that just before 5 o'clock. And number one, Gonzaga, and number three, Villanova, both had their games this weekend canceled. Might they get together for a non-league showdown? We'll get into that during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always, then I will eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to. But I did want to start with a memorable, wonderful, fun-filled Monday night for our city's two basketball teams. The Tigers beat UCF 96-69. The Grizzlies beat the Spurs 133-102. So they combined to win by 58 points. Mark Giannotto looked it up. That's the largest combined margin of victory in history for the Tigers and Grizz when playing on the same day. Obviously, I want to talk about both games, and I will, but let's take them in the order that they happened. Tigers-UCF, it started at like 7:05. Very soon thereafter, the game was done. The Tigers jumped to a 17-3 lead barely 4 minutes into the game. They led 52-29 at the half. They won 96-69 thanks to a 13-of-27 effort from three-point range. The Tigers shot 56.3% from the field, 48.1% from three. Again, 13-of-27 from beyond the arc, which means that's five straight games for Memphis of shooting above 40% from three-point range. It breaks down like this. Against Wichita State, they were 11-of-18. Against East Carolina, 11-of-25. Against SMU in the first game, 10-of-21. Second game, 9-of-20. And UCF last night, 13-of-27 from beyond the arc. So the Tigers are 54-of-111 from three in the past five games. That's 48.6%. Now, for context, consider, you know, Baylor is shooting 43.4% from three on the season, which leads the nation. So Memphis has been shooting better from three over the past five games than the nation's best three-point shooting team. And that's the biggest reason why Memphis is playing better. Memphis is playing better because Memphis is shooting significantly better. Before the Wichita State game, Memphis was shooting 30.2% from three. Currently, that would rank 292nd nationally. Now, Memphis is shooting 36.2% from three on the season. That ranks 75th nationally. So the Tigers have improved by more than 200 spots in the national three-point percentage rankings over the past five games. It's ridiculous. Meantime, they're also improving at KenPom, up to 50th at KenPom. And this is the highest they've been since they were 47th back on December 4th. So this is the highest they've been in nearly 2 months. And if you're wondering, yes, you can get an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament ranked 50th at KenPom. It happens for somebody every season. Last NCAA tournament, which was two seasons ago because we didn't have one last season, Ole Miss got an at-large bid ranked 50th at KenPom. Arizona State got an at-large bid 57th at KenPom. Seton Hall got an at-large bid 60th at KenPom. Temple got an at-large bid 69th at KenPom. So the Tigers are in the range you need to be in. Not great, but not awful either. And it's also worth noting that Memphis being 50th at KenPom right now, this is the highest Memphis has been this late in the season since 2014. It's the first time Memphis has been in the top 50 this late in the season since 2014. That was Josh Pastner's last NCAA tournament team. That team went 24-10, finished 36 at KenPom, lost to Virginia in the second round of the NCAA tournament. Here's a breakdown, by the way, of how Memphis has finished at KenPom in each of the subsequent seasons. In 2015, Josh Pastner team, 87th in KenPom. 2016, this is Josh's last team, 75th at KenPom. Remember, that was deemed unacceptable. Then came Tubby Smith. In 2017, the Tigers finished 101st at KenPom, so 26 spots worse in Tubby's first year than in Josh's last year. And then in 2018, which was Tubby's second year that doubled as his last year, the Tigers finished 161st at KenPom. They fire him, hire Penny Hardaway in year one. Penny's team finished 56th at KenPom. Last season, finished 59th at KenPom, and right now they're 50th at KenPom. So right now, this Memphis team is on track to be the best Memphis team since the 2014 Memphis team. And, yes, like I explained on Calkins' show this morning, there is a path for the Tigers, like a realistic path, to get an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. They're 62nd in the net right now. The quadrant breakdown is as follows. 0-2 in quadrant 1, 3-3 in quadrant 2, 4-1 in quadrant 3, 3-0 in quadrant 4. So Memphis is 3-5 in the first two quadrants with one quadrant 3 loss. Now let's compare that to the last team in the bracket, according to Jerry Palm at CBS Sports right now. That's VCU. VCU is 0-3 in quadrant 1, 2-0 in quadrant 2, 5-1 in quadrant 3, 5-0 in quadrant 4. So VCU is 2-3 in the first two quadrants with one quadrant 3 loss. So neither Memphis nor VCU has a quad 1 win, but the Tigers do have more wins in the first two quadrants than VCU, which is projected in the field right now.
Okay.
So that's a good thing. The problem for Memphis is the loss column. Three of VCU's four losses are in the first quadrant, while only two of the Tigers' six losses are in the first quadrant. In other words, VCU has fewer losses and better losses than Memphis, plus a win over Memphis. So that's why VCU is in the field and Memphis isn't close. It's the loss column. Memphis has four losses outside of the first quadrant. VCU only has one. And that, by the way, is why these next three games for Memphis against UCF, ECU, and Cincinnati are big, even if they aren't quadrant one or quadrant two opportunities. Because as I just demonstrated, avoiding losses outside of the first quadrant is just as important, or at least just about as important, as getting wins inside the first quadrant. And Memphis probably can't afford many more losses outside of the first quadrant. So the Tigers need to do tomorrow night to UCF what they did last night to UCF. And then they'll continue to be on the right track in pursuit of a possible at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. To be clear, they're not on the, quote, bubble right now, but they're not nearly as far away from the bubble as it felt like as recently as five games ago. I'm going to talk to Jeff Calkins more about this a little after 5 o'clock. But I do want to move on to the Grizzlies before I get Chris Mannix to join the program. Big win for the Grizz last night. The final score, 133-102. So they swept a two-game series from the Spurs in San Antonio. And now they're going to take a seven-game winning streak into tonight's game with the Pacers. That's going to be played at Bankers Life in Indianapolis. Last night, the Grizz shot 55.9% from the field and 50% from three-point range. And the reason it was a big win, besides the obvious, is because it was a win that is impossible to dismiss or discount. So many of the Grizzlies' wins this season have been easy to dismiss if you wanted to dismiss them. Beat the Sixers. Yeah, but Joel Embiid didn't play. Beat the Nets. Yeah, but Kyrie and Kevin didn't play, and James Harden wasn't even on the team yet. Beat the Nets again. Same thing. Beat the Spurs. Yeah, but they were on the second night of a back-to-back, and the Grizzlies were rested. You could dismiss them if you wanted to, but there's no way to dismiss or discount what happened last night. Both teams had Sunday off. The Spurs had motivation because of the loss on Saturday. The Spurs weren't resting anybody. The Spurs, you could argue, had more motivation to win that game than the Grizzlies.
Mm-hmm.
And still, the Grizzlies just lined up and beat them once again. Even worse than they beat them the first time. Super, super impressive win. The idea that they're sitting here with a seven-game winning streak is insane, given that they're doing it without three projected starters. We know Jaren Jackson Jr. hasn't played a minute this season. Justice Winslow hasn't played a minute for the Grizzlies ever. And Jonas Valanciunas has set out the past two games. Health and safety. But in a perfect, everybody's healthy, everybody is able to play world, those three players are supposed to be starting with Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks. But those three players aren't available right now. So the Grizz are just having to piece it together. And they're piecing it together to the extent that they have a seven-game winning streak. Did you think they'd even have a seven-game winning streak at all at any point in the season?
No.
No.
I mean, no.
No, nobody did. It was unreasonable to predict such a thing. And yet here we are. just stringing wins, stacking them on top of each other. And it is the type of thing that now has people talking about the Grizzlies on a national level. One such person is Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated. He spent 6 minutes this morning talking Grizz on the crossover. I'm going to talk Grizz and the NBA in general with him next. You listen to the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
When Jill contacted Josh Hysall to sell her home at Eads, she needed to start packing fast because once Josh worked his marketing magic, that home sold in just one day, and it sold for more than the asking price. That's just one of the latest success stories connected to Josh Hysall. He's got that 45-day guarantee. It is a system for selling homes that creates more demand and gets homes sold faster and for more money than the average agent. Josh is able to do this because he's experienced, effective, someone who can expose your home to the most buyers with the best marketing strategy. Then he knows how to negotiate for the most money possible. But the first step is, Josh, just helping you price your home in a way that makes it attractive. Once you guys agree on a price, that's when Josh goes to work. And then if your home isn't sold in 45 days at that agreed-upon price, Josh will step in and make the mortgage payments until it sells, or he'll simply buy the home from you. He can even make you an instant cash offer. You pick. Totally up to you, and understand this is a risk-free proposition. Working with Josh doesn't obligate you to anything. If he isn't doing his job, in your opinion, you can fire him, no questions asked. He has flexible fees. There are no upfront costs. So if you're trying to sell a home, call the only real estate agent I'd call if I wanted to sell my home. His name is Josh Hysall. 461-8147. That's 461-8147. He's on the web. Josh sells the Mid-South.
Want to bet with cash? Try Action 24/7. Visit action247.com for a location near you. Cash deposits and withdrawals from your Tennessee sportsbook. Action247.com. You got action.
Please bet responsibly.
This season's hottest collection is dropping to a dinner table near you. Meet the new Golden Standard, Church's new Texas tenders, accessorized with butterfly shrimp. Snag your Texas tenders and shrimp meal for just $5. Church's, bringing that down home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Some fuel system cleaner could help. It cleans your entire fuel system to help improve your fuel economy. Right now, you can get Chevron Techron Complete Fuel System Cleaner for just $4.99. Plus a $1 bonus reward if you're an AutoZone Rewards member. Not a member? We can sign you up fast right here in store or on AutoZone.com. Getting the job done just got easier. Terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
For the ones finding new ways to ensure the job always gets done. For the ones wearing many hats. For the ones who are hands-on, even from far away. And the ones keeping business moving forward. We are Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, with 24/7 support and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The calendar has flipped to 2021. The NFL playoffs are here. Tigers are in league play. Grizzly season is underway. Lots of games to watch and enjoy. If you're like me, Gary Parrish, you might want to enjoy these things while enjoying a drink. And if you want to enjoy what I'm enjoying, try New Amsterdam Vodka. New Amsterdam Vodka, it is a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It's 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered 3 times to create a soft finish, as I'm sure you know by now. So smooth you could drink it straight. And it really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store. And that's because it's a quality vodka that is reasonably priced. And if you're into flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam offers a variety. Lemon, coconut, watermelon is the newest flavor. Keep an eye out for that. Don't forget, New Amsterdam also has a gluten-free vodka. So if you are on a gluten-free diet, that's the vodka for you. Please ask for it by name next time you are in a bar or in a restaurant or in a liquor store. New Amsterdam Vodka. That's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web. NewAmsterdamSpirits.com.
When it comes to home comfort, there's only one name you need to remember. That's Landmark Heating and Air Conditioning. Still family-owned and operated, we've been keeping you comfortable with superior service and exceptional products for over 50 years. Whether it's routine maintenance, emergency service, or a complete new system, our trained, professional, and friendly staff is always ready to assist you. For all your home comfort needs, we are the comfort company you can trust. Call us today at 365-4260 or visit us at LandmarkHeatingAndAir.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like typewriter. This is like a movie.
Mickey Callaway, the Germantown High graduate, has been suspended by the Angels after allegations surfaced last night of inappropriate behavior. I'll get you updated on that. Not great story in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will be here a little after 5 o'clock, but right now he is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, covers the NBA, covers boxing. It's Chris Mannix. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview, presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar, using food and wine to create memorable times.
So Chris Mannix, this morning, you could have talked about anything on the crossover with Howard Beck and Ben Pickman, but you decided to talk about the surging Memphis Grizzlies. And I gathered after watching the 6-minute video, you're a believer that this can hold up to some degree, right?
You know, I am. I don't know if they finish inside that top 5 or 6. That might be asking a lot, especially considering how many games they've been forced to miss because of the COVID issues. But I don't see any reason to believe why they can't be there in that 7-8 range, and why what we're seeing isn't sustainable, at least in the regular season. I mean, the guys, the depth that they have that we've seen over the last few weeks, like none of it's really all that surprising. I mean, you know, Dylan Brooks is a very good player, a very good scorer. Jonas Valanciunas is a very good player. I mean, you go down the list, I mean, these are solid NBA players who are capable of giving you 10, 12, 14 points every single night. So I think that's going to be consistent. I love the fact that they attack the paint almost relentlessly. I mean, they're, I think, one of the best team in terms of points in the paint in the NBA. And the guys they have coming back are going to make them better. I mean, Justice Winslow is going to make them a better all-around team. Jaren Jackson Jr., assuming he's fully healthy when he gets back in the mix, is a dynamic pick-and-roll player with Ja Morant. So I don't know why we shouldn't believe that this Memphis team has staying power, at least in the playoff field.
I'm talking to Chris Mannix here from Sports Illustrated. Obviously, right now they're without the three players you just named. Jonas Valanciunas has not played in the either game in San Antonio. He's out of quarantine, but still not. He's still in health and safety protocol. Justice and Jaren. Justice expected to join the team later this month. Jaren, I would assume at some point in March. What does it say about the organization, about Taylor Jenkins and his staff, about Ja Morant, that the Grizzlies are able to do this without, in theory, three starters?
I think it says a lot about Taylor Jenkins, who has to be at the top of any Coach of the Year ballot at this point, to go through the COVID issues that they've had, the early injury to Ja Morant, and to still be in this position right now is really remarkable. And I think Taylor Jenkins and that staff has done an incredible job just instilling confidence in guys like 1 through 9 on that roster, that if their number is called, they can go out there and play and play successfully. I mean, look, it's a credit to the players first, but the coaching staff has to make you believe and put you in the right positions, and I think that they've done that. It's weird because they've had so many COVID issues to use a word like continuity, but I think continuity and chemistry has mattered for the Grizzlies. A lot of these guys were part of this team last year. They bring them back into this mix. They're comfortable playing with each other. They're able to get off, I think, to a much better start. So I think all the things that have been done by the coaching staff and these role players is really one of the biggest surprises of the season.
You know, Jaren Jackson Jr. touched on this, sort of what you're touching on the other day. He tweeted, "It's because we hang out." The suggestion being, you know, especially a team with young guys, like maybe if you've got a bunch of 30-year-olds, it's not important for LeBron James and Kyle Kuzma to hang out. But when you got a bunch of young guys, you know, Jaren's 21, Ja's 21, when you've got young guys, how important is it that they seem to genuinely like each other on and off the court?
I think it's pretty important, you know, developing that chemistry with guys around your age has to help. You know, the locker room, if the locker room's in a good place, you know, that can only be a positive for the team moving forward. I still think, though, the fact that so many of these guys were part of last season's surprisingly successful team, that matters more. That they had the experience of kind of clawing their way into the playoff picture. They couldn't get into the playoffs in the bubble because of injuries, but they had that experience, you know, with each other. I think all those things, you know, they're building blocks. They're foundational pieces to where you're trying to get in Memphis. So having so many of these guys part of what happened last year and using that as a springboard going into this season, I think that's been instrumental to this team's success.
Talking to Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated. He's on Twitter, at SI Chris Mannix. If you didn't catch the crossover this morning, it was him and two of his colleagues discussing the streaking Memphis Grizzlies. We get to see Ja Morant every night. I know that on a national level, he does not get that same type of attention, but I've sort of gone from calling him a future star to looks like a star in the present. Is that a fair assessment on February 2nd, 2021?
Yeah, I think it's fair. There's very few flaws in his game right now. I mean, the way he plays, you know, you can make, well, obviously the injury derails him a little bit, but if he had played this way throughout a full season, you could make a case for an all-star spot, you know, for Ja Morant. And maybe in the next few weeks and months, maybe you can at that point. Ironically, he could be competing with your old pal Mike Conley for those spots in the all-star game. But no, he's already there. I mean, he proved he was the goods last year. You know, he played above his head, you know, in the bubble, trying to claw that team into the playoffs. And this year, in the games he's been healthy, he's really picked up right where he left off. And all the things that are flaws in his game, whether it's perimeter shooting or some mistakes when it comes to turnovers, these are all things that are going to be so easily correctable in the next, you know, months and years to come. But now he's all the way there, Gary. I mean, the point guard position is so hard to make a hierarchy for because there's so many good ones in this league, but he's already positioned himself as one of the best very early in his career.
Yeah, I think even as he was winning Rookie of the Year last season and over exceeding expectations, if you asked people, even people in Memphis, you know, okay, if you could redo the draft, would you still take Zion number one? And people would say, yeah, probably still take Zion number one. Is it a closer conversation? Are we sure Zion would still go number one in a redraft?
Probably. But because of the position that Ja plays and how it's almost impossible to succeed without a great point guard, you almost have to have LeBron on your team not to have a great point guard and succeed. It does inch it a little bit closer. I mean, I think Zion's going to be, you know, a dynamic, you know, two-position, you know, elite player for years to come. But I think Ja can certainly close the gap or has closed the gap and keep it closed over that same period of time. And he's just going to be a force at the NBA's most indispensable position. Having that spot fortified for years to come, it frankly means a lot more than having whatever position Zion is, you know, fortified for years to come. You can, not that you can find a player like Zion, but you can certainly find quality 4 or 5 guys in this league. It's hard to find a point guard like Ja Morant around, whether it's in the draft or free agency. So when you have a guy like that, you know, he's almost like a football franchise player. You never want to give him up.
I want to bounce around the league a little bit. Obviously, a big headline last night was the incident between LeBron James and a couple of fans in Atlanta, among them a woman who has been nicknamed Courtside Karen. What did you make of that whole thing?
I just, you know, everybody's different, right? But in my entire lifetime, including many years in my early 20s where I could be a fall-down drunk at events like this, it never would have occurred to me to do what that woman did or do what that man did, to yell at LeBron and curse at him and then go on social media afterwards and say some things that are going to be immortalized on the internet for years to come. I mean, that was my first reaction to it. My second, I don't think it should change anything when it comes to, you know, location of fans, even during a pandemic. Everybody makes a big issue about taking your mask down. And I think that, I agree, that is an issue, but it didn't look to me like any players were within, you know, 6 feet or even close to that of this woman. I just think this is just a just completely terrible person that is going to have to live with this for the rest of her life. And what is she, 25 years old, I think? You know, 10 years, 15 years from now, I don't care how rich she is and how fancy her life is, she is going to regret that night in Atlanta when she went off on LeBron James. She is now forever, you know, forever enshrined in social media and elsewhere as being the biggest loser on the internet.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. Like, you know, pandemic aside, I've never understood why it became somewhat acceptable in basketball arenas to yell obscenities at another human in a way that you wouldn't do on the street, on a way that you wouldn't do at a bar, on a way that you wouldn't do at a restaurant, and yet people feel very comfortable. I mean, if you saw a 6'8", 275-pound person, you wouldn't say a word to them under any circumstances, and yet here you have this guy and this woman yelling at LeBron James. I guess it's sort of like toothpaste out of the tube. You can't put it back in, or maybe you can. But how do you think we got to the point where people feel comfortable saying outlandish things to LeBron, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, anybody else?
Honestly, I think social media has played a part in all this, because social media, in a way, dehumanized athletes, where they would tweet something and a keyboard warrior would tweet back something completely disparaging. Like, and look, it goes beyond athletes. God knows I have a lot of people that tweet at me, and I'm sure you do at you, about some of the things we say or write or talk about. But I think when it comes to athletes, that's where it began, or that's where the line crossing really began. When you felt comfortable saying whatever you wanted to whoever you want on social media because there was no repercussions for it, I think you become more comfortable doing stuff like that at a game and saying stuff like that. Look, I have no problem with heckling. I think heckling is great, frankly. Like, the right kind of heckling is fun. I mean, there have been some great hecklers over the years. There's a guy in D.C. for decades that did it. The guy in Minnesota I wrote a story about, you know, these guys over the years. Like, guy in Minnesota did it, you know, really well. Spike Lee is legendary for his heckling at these Knicks games. So I think as long as it's, like, within boundaries, heckling is great and leads to some incredible interactions, like we saw with Reggie Miller and Spike, which is, you know, part of the fabric of the NBA. But, you know, when you start getting personal and cursing and, you know, making it about something other than the game, you're just a loser. Like, that's just what you are. And, you know, this woman can pat herself on the back, and her husband can pat himself on the back for thinking they're so cool at this event, and their friends are probably telling them how funny it was. But, you know, someday their kids are going to see that, and they're going to see it down the line, and it's just going to be embarrassing for everyone.
Talking to Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated. Switching gears, the Nets lost by giving up 149 points on Sunday night. And I saw this yesterday, that if you take their adjusted offense, if you take their offense rating and their defensive rating since James Harden has joined the team, they are literally the best offense of all time and literally the worst defense of all time. How is that going to work out?
Well, you know who's making a lot of money right now is Jared Allen, because, you know, Jared Allen gets traded and all of a sudden the defense, which wasn't great to begin with, but, you know, that falls apart completely. I think Harden has been fine. Like, I think Harden is not the problem with this group. I think he came in and has played with the right attitude, where he's trying to be more of a playmaker first. He's not being this, you know, black hole of a ball handler all the time. So I think he's been okay. The problem is, you know, to make this deal, they gutted their team. And they also lost Spencer Dinwiddie, the injury, before all this happened. And because of that, they've only been playing like five guys, none of them our defensive stopper, six guys sometimes. They bring a few other guys off the bench, but it's clear that Steve Nash doesn't trust anybody with that group. I mean, they pressed like the Iman Shumpert break glass in case of emergency card, like where they, you know, just sign him, hoping he's got something left of the defensive tank to play some minutes for them. But I'm not sure how that's going to work out with that group. This is a team, Gary, that desperately needs a robust buyout market, because if there is, they are going to be an extremely attractive home for free agents trying to chase a ring. They've got roster spots. They've got, you know, rotation places, because nobody wants to play DeAndre Jordan 35 minutes a night. So, like, they're going to be a place for opportunity, but I'm not so sure what it's going to look like. I mean, because of the play-in tournament, there are going to be a lot of teams that feel like they're in the playoff mix. So, you know, maybe Andre Drummond gets bought out or somebody like that, but I don't know that you're going to see five or six impact players on the buyout market. And if there aren't, and this is the Nets roster for the rest of the way, they're going to get beat. Somebody's going to beat them in the Eastern Conference playoffs, because you might be able to win some regular season games like this, but you can't, even if you have, you know, snipers like Durant, Irving, and Harden, there's no such thing as a 10-point shot. So if you're down by 10 late in the fourth quarter, you're going to have problems.
Wrapping up here with Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated. You wrote a column late last month advocating for the NBA to return to the bubble. It seems like they just want to do anything besides that. Today, there's a report that they're going to start as soon as next week making players on the bench wear KN95 or KF94 mask, as opposed to cloth mask or any sort of normal mask you might see in this normal situation. Is that where we're at? Like, they know they need to do more, but they just don't want to go back to a bubble.
Of course they know. Of course they know. They know they should be in a bubble right now. Everybody in the league office knows it, but they can't get the players to get on board with it. And, you know, there's a lot of owners that don't want to pay for it. I mean, the bubble last time around cost $180 million. Owners don't want to pick up the tab for something like that. And as long as those two things are in effect, we're going to be going through all this over and over again. I think, look, I spent like 70 days in the bubble. I don't want to go back. I didn't get a lot of joy out of being down there for as long as I was. But you went to games, and the integrity of the games were protected. It's, you know, first and foremost, the health of people were protected, because that's, you know, paramount in all this. But the integrity of the games were protected. You didn't have teams like Memphis and Washington and Miami and Boston having to take a week or 2 weeks off because of the health and safety protocols. They didn't lose one game in the bubble because of health and safety protocols. And at this point, that should be the priority. Now, the counter argument I get on social media all the time is like, oh, God, nobody's going to sign up for 6 months in a bubble. Nobody's saying that. But the NBA came back with training camp in December, weeks after the first surge from post-Thanksgiving. They started their season around Christmas, right when another surge began. This was all predictable. Like, you can, everybody knew this was coming, that there were going to be surges across the country when it comes to coronavirus. Why couldn't the NBA have said, look, we're going to do a two-month bubble. We're going to get through December. We're going to get through January. We're going to get into February, and then we'll see where we're at. Hopefully things have settled down and we can get back into our home market. Instead, they decided to roll the dice, and it came up craps. This is what happens when you just decide to, you know, guess and bet on maybe having some luck when it comes to COVID. They haven't had it, and I think that's a factor that's mostly due to owners being too cheap to pay for it and players not being willing to go back in just for a couple of months.
And it's Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated. Make sure you read him, SI.com. He's on Twitter, SI Chris Mannix. And if you haven't seen the crossover from this morning, it focuses on the Grizzlies. It's Chris Mannix, Howard Beck, and Ben Pickman. You can find that on the 92.9 Twitter feed. You're the best, buddy. I appreciate you being here. Stay safe.
You got it, Gary.
Take care. That's Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated. When we come back, Germantown High graduate, Ole Miss alum Mickey Callaway, former Mets manager, now pitching coach with the Angels, has been suspended by the Angels after The Athletic published a story last night with allegations from five different female reporters about unwelcomed and or lewd propositions that have obviously damaged his career, reputation, and will probably, I would assume, end his career in Major League Baseball. He has, to be fair, denied, quote, any wrongdoing, but that could just be the thing that you do when you don't have anything else to really stand on. I'll give you the details of that story next. You listen to the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
We're back on Wednesday and getting closer to Super Bowl 55. The Chiefs will be without much of their offensive line. We'll tell you why that won't matter for Patrick Mahomes. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
KJZ, weekday mornings from 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN. The Jeff Calkins Show, the Jason and John Show, the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show, the Gary Parrish Show. One place, 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
92.9 ESPN from radio.com.
20 ribeyes for $30 in Memphis right now for a limited time. Hurry now. 20 ribeyes for $30. EBT, credit cards, debit cards, all payments accepted. Last chance to compare five-star steaks to Omaha Steak Box steak deals and save on the ribeyes. 20 ribeyes for $30. Look for the big tent in the parking lot at the Wolf Chase Mall in front of Macy's. Also look for the big truck at the Oak Court Mall, Poplar Avenue entrance. And look for the big tent on the corner of Hickory Hill and Manchester across from AutoZone. Also on the big truck, crazy deals on premium steak, pork, seafood, and gourmet chicken breast. Everything must go. It's a truckload meat mania sale. Look for the big tent in the parking lot at Wolf Chase Mall in front of Macy's. Also look for the big truck at the Oak Court Mall, Poplar Avenue entrance. And look for the big tent on the corner of Hickory Hill and Manchester across from AutoZone. Crazy deals on Kansas City strips, fillets, bacon wrap fillets, mega ribeyes, and get 20 ribeyes for $30 right now at Wolf Chase Mall, Oak Court Mall, and corner of Hickory Hill and Manchester across from AutoZone. Don't wait.
Celebrate the 55th edition of the Big Game with exclusive 55-to-1 odds on FanDuel Sportsbook. If you've never tried FanDuel before, new users can bet on either KC or Tampa Bay and get 55-to-1 odds. That's right. You can bet $5 and win $275 if you pick the winner of the Big Game on February 7th. I've been betting football on FanDuel all season long. The quick payouts, that's the best part. Same game parlays, they've got it all. And, of course, FanDuel is the official partner of radio.com and 92.9 FM ESPN. And whether you're taking this 55-1, taking advantage of those odds, or using those same game parlays, they've got you covered. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use promo code JSmith to get started. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code JSMITH. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus $275. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com for problem gambling support. Call 1-800-889-9789.
Love getting prices that are lower than low on food that's fresher than fresh? Then shop at Kroger. We give you more ways to save on the fresh you love with tools like the Kroger app, where you can find personalized coupons on top of weekly sales, giving you prices that are lower than the everyday low. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Sign up for the Kroger RX Savings Club and your prescriptions could be free. Get started at KrogerSC.com, powered by GoodRx. Restrictions may apply.
Whatever it is that drives you, the U.S. Army offers training, expertise, and the surprising breadth and depth of opportunities you need. Just answer one thing. What's your warrior? Find out at GoArmy.com. Text ASFC to GoArmy for more info or call 901-324-1387.
Looking for some action? Online sports gambling is legal in Tennessee. Action247.com. Local. Legal. A sports book by Tennesseans for Tennesseans. Action 24/7. You got action.
Problem gambling? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Progressive presents The Sounds of the Old World.
The year is 2019, and someone is waiting for the previews to start in a movie theater.
Hey, you want anything? Popcorn? Soda? No, nothing.
This has been The Sounds of the Old World.
Brought to you by Progressive, where drivers can still switch and save like it's 2019.
Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
What do you get when you talk to a Dell Technologies advisor? You get someone who understands there's an art to listening. Who's able to hear more than what's being said and can provide tailored small business solutions that make you feel truly heard.
I understand. Let's get started.
For advice on everything from laptops to the cloud and solutions powered by Intel vPro platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The God Killer, this Tokyo, and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack.
versus death, gun on the car dealer. Just bought a demon, I'm screaming about the car dealer. The last temptation of Mike, but I'm a God digger. Tell me as a Bob that the God don't need a job. And if I did, the oligarchs would be missing, murdered, and robbed. This is Bonaparte, and he paid with Tucson. And they went on a world conquest, tearing your Bonaparte. Michael remained murderous, but still virtuous. Wait to kill the petty, you found out the church services. Not a holy man, but a moral and my perversion. So I support the sex workers unionizing their services.
Jeff Calkins is an award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show weekdays 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Keeps his dogs in his van, in his driveway, sometimes just because. He's going to join me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now I've got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
The Los Angeles Angels have suspended pitching coach Mickey Callaway in the wake of a report by The Athletic in which five women accuse Callaway of lewd behavior. In a statement released this afternoon, Angels spokeswoman Marie Garvey wrote, quote, "Late yesterday, we were made aware of the allegations reported in The Athletic. This morning, we suspended Mickey Callaway and will work closely with MLB to conduct a full investigation," end quote. The story at ESPN.com continues. Callaway has denied wrongdoing, a source told ESPN, which prevents the Angels from firing him without the just cause that could be procured from an investigation. MLB and the Angels are hoping to wrap up that investigation relatively soon, perhaps before the start of spring training, the source said. The five women, all of whom spoke to The Athletic anonymously and work in sports media, accused Callaway of inappropriate behavior that included sending shirtless photos, requesting nude pictures, and, in one instance, thrusting his crotch in a reporter's face while she attempted an interview. The behavior spanned 5 years and his employment with three organizations, including his stint as the Cleveland Indians pitching coach and the New York Mets manager. There it started being some online, like, Twitter chatter among, you know, Mets fans and Mets media that I follow that were hinting probably 2 days ago that a Mickey Callaway story was coming. So I wasn't shocked when it dropped last night, if only because, again, people were suggesting something is on the way connected to Mickey Callaway. But I will tell you, after reading it, it becomes quite clear, like, he's not going to keep his job with the Angels. And I don't know that he'll ever have a job in Major League Baseball again, because it's just one example of another of stuff you simply cannot do. You know, we've watched incredibly successful men be brought down in recent years as part of the Me Too movement. You know, Matt Lauer, you know, I mean, how does Matt Lauer lose his job? And I can almost not condone, obviously, but understand how you might have done something 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, before this whole Me Too movement started. What I can't fathom is how you could still be doing this stuff as recently as last year or 2 years ago after watching all of the people who got caught up in this scandals go down. Like, wouldn't you think at that point you either, A, open your eyes and go, okay, well, wow, I didn't realize how inappropriate my behavior was, but now I know, so that's over. Or you go, okay, I don't think this behavior is that out of line or even out of line, but I know that other people do, and I'll get fired, so I've got to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the two.
You
would think. The idea that you would still, and by you, I mean Mickey, would still be acting in this way after these other, even more famous and successful people got brought down is just absolutely bananas to me. And to be clear, the behavior is, you know, it's unacceptable. There's no way to rationalize it. You cannot, in any time, I would like to say, but we know that's not true, but certainly in recent years try to take advantage of a power dynamic in the workplace to create relationships. It's just an absolute no-no. And yet here he was using his position as manager of the New York Mets, specifically those situations, to try to create relationships with women who were just trying to do their job. Like, there's one story where he would text one woman, hey, meet me for drinks and I'll tell you what's going on with the team. In other words, come hang out with me socially and I might give you something that could help you with your job. That's just way out of line. And now you've put a professional in a situation where they don't know how to handle this situation. Because on one hand, you know, getting information from the manager of the team that you cover is something of real value. On the other hand, the idea that you got to have a vodka cranberry with them to do it and put yourself in a position you don't want to be in is, again, not a decision somebody should have to make. So, you know, it's a lot of people have made a big deal, you know, that he is married and sending all of these text messages and these pictures to these women. And like I said this morning on Calkins Show, I'll let Mickey and his wife deal with that. That's between them and none of my business. He will not lose his job because he was sending inappropriate text messages or pictures or even having inappropriate relationships with women. That won't cost you your job. But what will cost you your job is when you are making unwanted advances repeatedly in the workplace with women you have a power dynamic over. You can't survive that in 2021. And so I saw a lot of women reporters, even friends of mine last night, discussing this. And what's remarkable is they've all been through this, every one of them. I only say her name because she put it out there last night. But like, I've talked to Nicole Albeck, who works at The Athletic, about, you know, coaches who have been wildly inappropriate with her. And I've seen it with other friends of mine who are in the sports media. You know, whether it's Allie LaForce or Jamie Erdahl or Dana Jacobson or any of the women that I've worked with or still work with, they've all got stories exactly or something similar to the stories detailed in The Athletic. You know, nobody's ever, you know, sent me, no coach or manager or athlete has ever sent me a topless picture. Nobody's ever said, hey, GP, come meet me for a drink.
Right.
And but just make sure it's just you. Like, that's not something I have to deal with at all, ever. I've been doing this for more than two decades. I've never had to deal with that. And yet every female reporter I know has to deal with that. And it's not just, you know, in a reporter, coach, or athlete scenario. It's females in all walks of life, including my industry of sports media. You know, there are countless stories of, quote, talent at a ESPN or any other network you can name taking advantage of a power dynamic, a power imbalance between themselves and some lower level, you know, production assistant who happens to be attractive. Like, if you are hosting SportsCenter and you ask the 24-year-old production assistant if she wants to come have drinks with you, well, she is probably scared to say no because you could ruin her career or possibly help it. And so these things arise. And, like, it is something that we are, you know, it's something that is discussed constantly in my workplaces. Like, don't cross any lines when it comes to people who work underneath you, and don't cross any lines when it comes to people, you know, within your industry. Like, I swear to God, I've got, you know, we work with, you know, when I traveled, pre-pandemic, you know, we have young production assistants around, young producers around, you know, technically, like by the book, there's a power imbalance there. I don't even hug anybody. I wouldn't even joke inappropriately with any of them because you don't even want to create the perception that maybe you'd be up to something in that regard. And so I just thought all men had sort of learned that lesson by now. So it was, you know, disappointing to see that, you know, Mickey, who, when we're spending this time talking about it, not because he's a former Mets manager, but because he's from here. He was a high school legend and an Ole Miss alum, and now his reputation is, you know, undeniably damaged, and his career is probably over, or at the very least will never, ever, ever be the same. And it's just so unavoidable. Like, you know, if you want to run around and be wild, there are ways to run around and be wild without risking your career. But propositioning women who work in sports media and therefore creating a workplace for them that is awkward and out of bounds, well, that's the thing that gets you in the situation that he's in right now. And so if you haven't read the story, go read it at The Athletic. You can see all the details for yourself. But it's, again, one obviously out-of-line thing after another, and we all know now how the story will end.
Story number two.
Kansas City offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy spent some time earlier today answering questions about a lot of things, among them why he hasn't been offered an NFL head coaching position yet. And the truth is, he doesn't know. Like he's like, I interviewed for 6 jobs last year. I interviewed for multiple jobs so far this year, and it just hasn't happened. He, among other things, said this today. It's always about getting the right job. Sometimes the job and the person have to connect. There has to be a connection. The only thing I can do is be my most authentic self. That's who I am. I can only be me. Some team has to want me. For some reason, that chemistry has not been a fit. There has not been that opportunity to connect, but that's okay. At the end of the day, I have the opportunity to go out here and work with the Kansas City Chiefs, which is a great organization. He said a lot of stuff from there, but that was the gist of it. First and foremost, it must be awkward when people are asking you, why do you keep getting rejected for all these jobs? You know, that's not a fun conversation because there's no crystal clear answer that would, you know, that makes you look great. And I know that because he's a black man, this has become a bigger story. A super successful offensive coordinator who is coming off a Super Bowl win and is favored to get another Super Bowl win, but can't get a head coaching job. Like, if he were white, would this even, he'd have had a job after last year. And I get that, and I'm not dismissive of that. But I will say, it's not impossible for an African-American to get a head coaching job in the NFL. It is harder. I acknowledge that, or at least it seems to be. But it's not impossible. There are successful black coaches in the NFL. And so it makes me think, because there's so much pressure on the NFL to hire this guy as a head coach, there's got to be something there that they don't like. There's got to be something there that just, when they get in the room or when they do the background, it's like, well, you know, he doesn't call, you know, that's Andy Reid's offense. And you know, anybody could win with Patrick Mahomes. Like, there's got to be something of substance other than just the color of his skin. Again, I'm not dismissive of that, but there's got to be something pretty significant that is turning people off, because on a very surface level, he's got the resume to get offered one of these jobs, but he keeps interviewing for all the jobs and he never gets offered the job. So will it change eventually? I assume so. I mean, he's probably, barring an upset, about to be a 2-time Super Bowl champion offensive coordinator. But I bet if you talk to people in those rooms, the people running the franchises that have interviewed him and then gone with somebody else, they would be able to properly tell you, at least in their opinion, why they didn't feel like he was the right candidate for their job. And I just don't believe in every instance it would strictly be the color of his skin. Although the reason this is such a big national story that, you know, is a lead headline at ESPN.com today is because he is yet another accomplished, incredibly accomplished minority candidate who can't seem to get a job in a league that historically has not made it easy for minority candidates to get jobs.
Story number three.
Massive college basketball game tonight. Baylor and Texas down at the Irwin Center in Austin. Baylor, of course, ranks second in the country. Texas is sixth in the country. And this is the toughest test remaining for Baylor on the schedule. The Bears are 5.5-point favorites tonight. And in every game going forward, they will be a bigger favorite than they are. Every game before Selection Sunday. They're 16-0 right now, 14 double-digit wins, 13-point victory over Illinois, a 15-point.